This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rays Radio Network.
Slice down the left field line. It's a fair ball. The Rays win it, and they have just clinched the number one spot. They have won the American League wild card.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
Swinging a ball, slice toward right. Back Hernandez onto the track, looking up, and it's gone! An opposite field homer! Yadier Diaz flexes his muscles, and the Rays win again in walk-off fashion.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball. Here's your host, Chris Adams-Wall.
And welcome to our latest program, everybody. My name is Chris Adams-Wall, and we're glad to have you with us once again. In today's show, we'll speak to one of the newest members of the Tampa Bay Rays. That's right-hander Ryan Pepiot, who, despite a bumpy first inning, rebounded and impressed yesterday in his second spring training start against the Minnesota Twins in Fort Myers. Then I'll have a conversation with another new Ray, that's catcher Alex Jackson, who has an opportunity this season to back up Rene Pinto. But let's get to the first of our pair of interviews today. It's new Rays righty and Indiana native Ryan Pepiot, who told me how his first spring training with the Rays has been going.
It's been great. Been down in St. Peter area for the past month, and then now down here in Port Charlotte. Just getting my bearings on everything, and everyone's been great so far, so I can't complain.
You got some experience with the LA Dodgers, as we talked about. And then in December, you and Johnny DeLuca come over here in the trade for Tyler Glasnow, Manuel Margot, and some cash. Talk about that day. We talked about it a few moments ago inside. You're watching TV with your wife, Lilia?
Yeah, we were watching TV. I get a couple messages, a couple reporters, a couple friends. I'm sitting there and get the text, and I'm like, hey, I think we just got traded. My wife's like, let me see, what are we talking about? And it was just a bunch of rumors at that point. The next day, the Dodgers call and hey, there are talks. We're sorry the rumors got out, but we don't know how they got out. But there are talks, nothing solidified yet. The next day, you get a call, hey, it's looking more likely. Be ready for a phone call Friday. Morning goes around, nothing. Afternoon, nothing. Go to dinner with a bunch of friends. We're going to look at Christmas lights afterwards, and immediately sit down for dinner. Drinks come. There's a phone call that goes through. I'm like, nah, I should have went to lunch.
Well, a certain columnist said thanks for everything or best of luck a couple of days prior, and so you packed some of your things up right prior to that dinner.
Yeah, so I went into the complex, the Dodgers complex, to work out like I normally do Monday through Friday. And that Friday, I was expecting the phone call, so it's one way or the other, I'm finding out if it happened or if not. So if it happens, I have all my stuff and I don't have to go back. If it doesn't happen, I can just take it back because it's in the bed of my truck, and I don't have to take my truck there anyway. So it was just easier that way for me.
So you come over to the Rays, but before that, and long before the Dodgers, you were a pitcher at Butler, where you did not play basketball, right? But you are from Indiana. You did play basketball in high school. You played some football as well. How did you become a baseball star? How did baseball become your sport?
Basketball was freshman, sophomore year. I didn't play much defense. I can only really shoot, so that wasn't in the cards for me. But as an Indiana kid, you kind of have to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Football for me, I loved it. It was fun. And I had an offer to play in college, but I didn't really want 300-pound dudes that ran faster than me trying to take my head off. So I thought career longevity, if I wanted to play professional sports, baseball was the way to go.
And where did these offers come from for football?
Ball State.
Yeah, sure.
So I had that, and then a couple other schools were interested, but I was I'm going to play baseball. I'm good.
Almost a Cardinal then.
Yeah.
What was playing baseball like at Butler?
It was a lot of fun. My best friends, still to the day, I met them there, and even I went to college with some of my best friends I grew up playing with from nine on, that we all went to school together. So it was a lot of fun. Had a great group of guys. We had a couple good teams. So small school, great conference. Been playing on the East Coast with New York and with St. John's, Georgetown, and D.C. So I've spent plenty of time on the East Coast. But it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed my time there, and I'm very thankful for it.
And then you became the highest draft pick in the history of Butler University. You were a third-round pick by the Dodgers, and what was that like? I know that there was someone who was the highest prior to you, and then they let you know about it, right, when you went ahead of them?
Yeah, Pat Neshek was the highest pick before that. He let me know about it a couple times after I broke one of his records that he thought never would get broken, and then the draft pick one, he let me know, but he was great to me as well. Gave me a little crap for beating his records and stuff, but gave me a bunch of advice for what to expect going into pro ball. So it was a crazy experience. It was cool seeing some of the scouts at our little field that we had, and then some of my friends benefited from that as well.
And at what point during your time at Butler did you realize, hey, I might have a chance to play professional baseball?
When I played in the Cape Cod League, I had some success there. Just seeing all the radar guns and all the scouts at those games, I wasn't used to anything like that. Seeing 30, 40 guys back behind home plate, just staring at you, writing every pitch down, all that fun stuff. But once I had some success there and made a name for myself a little bit and got my temporary contract there, turned into a full-time one, and played well the whole year pretty much. So that's kind of when things started to be like, okay, this is a possibility.
And you grew up right outside of Indianapolis. Who does one grow up rooting for? Obviously, Indianapolis does not have a Major League Baseball team. They have the Indianapolis Indians, though, AAA for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Were you a Pirates fan at all?
No. My dad's from Ohio, so I'm a Reds fan. I was a Reds fan growing up. So he.
I see you caught yourself right there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was a Reds fan. I grew up like 2 hours from Great American Ballpark, so I spent plenty of time there. A lot of my friends were Cubs fans. Like, the Indy area is very split. A lot of Cubs, some Reds, and a few Cardinals. So obviously you have the three teams there. Indy would be a great city if they had an expansion team there, but I don't know how it would work because you'd try to be stealing fans from Cubs, Reds, Cardinals, all that. So I understand logistically if it doesn't work, but it would be a cool spot and cool for the city. But yeah, I grew up a Reds fan. So it was a tough few years, especially in high school when the Cubs won the World Series. I got a lot of slack from my friends.
Who was your favorite Cincinnati pitcher?
Bronson Arroyo with his leg kick. That was who I liked. Now I always like you in the backyard playing wiffle ball with your buddies, and you try to emulate everyone's like swings and stuff. So like I tried to do a Ken Griffey swing and it didn't really work. So I like Griffey, Brandon Phillips, and Votto. So it would be cool to play or meet Joey Votto one day. So
you've been to Great American Ballpark. You've been to a lot of the NL West stadiums, as we talked about earlier. But you're pretty excited to knock out some of these stadiums on the East Coast, right?
I am. I'm excited to go play in Yankee Stadium, Fenway. I got to go to Fenway, Cape Cod. I did like a workout there. I didn't do anything. I just shagged balls the whole time. Got like to go in on the clubhouse and all that stuff, and went to a couple games at Fenway during the time there. But go there, Toronto, Camden Yards. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And you had kind of an up and down time with the Dodgers. You dealt with some injuries while you were there. What did you learn while playing for a team like LA, though? You guys made the playoffs last year. You were up against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and there were some rumors that you might have started game four had you guys gotten that far.
You know, it was a great experience. The playoff experience was great. Obviously, I didn't play, and obviously things didn't go the way we wanted to. But just being there, understanding the environment, seeing how things go, seeing how it works, I think it was an invaluable lesson. But then also just being on that team, being in that city with the guys in that clubhouse, I learned a lot. Just having some of the names that are there with Kershaw's and Mookie and Freddie and Justin Turner the year before and Bellinger and all those guys, just being able to bounce ideas off them, kind of see what their experiences have been like, what's worked for them, what they've done when they've struggled. They were great to me. They were always willing to sit there around and talk. Kind of just give me advice. So having that from them and then coming here and getting the experience and getting the lessons from the guys here, just getting more voices and more ideas and stuff. So taking stuff from each person I've met so far and trying to like emulate it into my own, it's nice. And then obviously having it from two teams now, got even more stuff to bounce off my head.
And you got to experience a true playoff atmosphere in a couple of stadiums, right? Dodger Stadium and then Chase Field, which you said was especially rambunctious.
Yeah, it was. Dodger Stadium is always pretty wild. For a home team, it's pretty fun. Obviously, pitch in front of 50,000-plus, like, every night. So that was always really cool. So I kind of felt like no matter where I went for a game, it didn't feel too crazy. And then go to Chase Field and sitting in the bullpen for that one. That one was pretty wild because I pitched from Chase Field and it wasn't that full. They had a pretty good crowd, but it was next level crowd during the playoff game. And the roof closed, so it was loud. And there were some good hecklers, so I'll give them credit. There were some good hecklers down in the bullpen for when I started moving around. But it was cool.
Are you excited for this opportunity with the Tampa Bay Rays? Because here we are now in the middle of spring training. No one's totally sure what the starting rotation is going to look like, but I think there's a reason they got you, and that was to be a part of that, right?
Yeah, obviously it's a great opportunity to come here. It's a great team, great group of guys, been in the playoffs last 5-6 years, so in a great division. So to continue that and to do my part and try to help however I can, take the ball whenever I'm told to and just go out there and eat down innings. It's a job as a starting pitcher, and I like to do that. So go out there, take the ball, get down through 6-7 innings as many times as I can, save the bullpen a little bit, and just keep the team in ball games to win. Winning is a lot more fun than losing, so I'm here to help to win a bunch of games.
And what can Rays fans expect from you? Like, what kind of pitches do you throw? We know that you scrapped a sweeper right over the offseason.
Yeah, so I throw a fastball, four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider. So a little three-pitch mix, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to attack guys. Pretty even-keeled on the mound, so I'm not going to show a whole lot of emotion one way or the other. But just going to go out there, take the ball, and just go after guys. I know I got 30 starts in the season, so I'm just going to go out there and try to make all of them the best as it can be, and just go out there and try to keep our team in every single one of them.
Does it make it a little easier that Johnny DeLuca has come over here with you in that trade?
Yeah, so obviously Johnny's a great guy. Johnny's a SoCal kid. He's a surfer guy. I think the fans are going to really like him. Guys in the clubhouse are going to really like him. So obviously, like, I'm the new guy, and Johnny's coming with me, so I'm not just the only one. So that makes it a lot easier. Don't have to take the brunt of getting picked on as the new guy. So Johnny and I can split it. But also I came over here knowing Derek Clevenger, playing with him. Knew Luke Raley. We were teammates again for 2 weeks before he got traded. But knowing some of those guys and then even the guys in the clubhouse, they reached out right after the trade just to make me feel comfortable. So I couldn't ask for anything more.
And then are you going to wear number 44? Is that the number that I saw you picked? Why 44?
I liked 47. That was when I got called up, my options were 47 or 89, what I had in spring training. So 47 was obviously the better choice, and I really liked it. But Jay's got it here, and I don't have the coin to, like, ask for it. So I wasn't going to do that. But I like 44. I like numbers in the 40s, and I think double numbers are pretty cool. So and 44 has a pretty cool meaning.
We'll end with this. You've got some pretty serious flow, which we talked about earlier as well. The guy you were traded for had some pretty serious flow as well, Tyler Glass now. But your hair hasn't always been this long, right?
No, I started growing it in 2020 when barbershops closed. I haven't been in a barbershop since then. I have to go.
Neither have I, for the record.
I have to go to hair salons now. so even like when the barber comes to the clubhouse, the only thing he can do is just touch up the neck a little bit, shave it up. But I've been growing it for a while. My wife likes it. I like it. It's a little more work in the morning. I can't just roll out of bed and throw a hat on, really. I got to, you know, brush it and all that fun stuff. But I like it. It's good.
Well, you've gotten used to it, and hopefully Rays fans are going to get used to watching you, Ryan Pepio, out there with the flow and throwing all three of your pitches. Thanks so much for joining us, though, and best of luck the rest of the spring.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And we thank Ryan Pepio for taking the time to talk with us and welcome him once again to Tampa Bay. We are going to go to our first break, but don't change that channel because we're coming right back with Rays catcher Alex Jackson on the other side, right here on the Rays Baseball Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chris Adams Wahlbeck here on Countdown to Opening Day. And today we're talking with Rays catcher Alex Jackson for the first time. Alex, what's going on? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks for having me. It's definitely exciting and, you know, out here in Port Charlotte and beautiful weather. So just ready to get this season going.
Yeah, we had a little bit of bad weather there at the beginning of the spring. But, yeah, the sun's back out, as you say. How has your first spring training with the Rays been? We know that you came over in an August trade, I think it was, last year from the Milwaukee Brewers. How's it gone for you so far?
It's been awesome. It's been really enjoyable. You know, the guys over here, the players are amazing. You know, it's been a lot of fun. The staff has been very welcoming. You know, and it's just been a good enjoyable process, and, you know, really looking forward to the upcoming season and, you know, to get going here in spring training.
Before I hit the record button, though, you were talking up this organization. You say everything's just easy, it's fun, and Kevin Cash wants you to have some fun this spring, right?
Exactly. You know, yeah, I mean, Cashy's been very upfront about that, and, you know, he just wants everyone to enjoy themselves, have a good time, stay relaxed. You know, stay healthy and just enjoy it, because at the end of the day, it's a game. You know, we're fortunate enough to be able to play a game that we love, and, you know, it's you really can't ask for more.
You have quite an opportunity in front of you right here at Rays Spring Training as all of these loud machines go by behind us, but Rene Pinto is the only catcher on the Rays 40-man as of this conversation. That means that there's an opportunity for someone to be his backup and to perhaps even split the load going into this next campaign here in 2024. You've played at the big league level with a number of different teams. How excited are you about that opportunity?
Yeah, no, definitely exciting. You know, anytime there's an opportunity, you know, to be with a big league club, I mean, it's an exciting thing, you know, but like I said, I, you know, did an interview earlier, and the biggest thing for us is getting the pitchers ready. You know, so as much as that opportunity is great and it's always in the back of your head, you know, our job is to focus on getting the pitchers ready for opening day, getting them ready for the season. And so, you know, myself, Renee, Rob, you know, all of the guys here in camp, that's what we've been focused on, and we've been just trying to have a blast together, you know, enjoy it, and just, you know, keep getting ourselves ready day by day.
Of course, we all know once the Super Bowl comes and goes, pitchers and catchers report to spring training. Do you resent the other position players at all because they get that extra week before they have to show up?
No. You know what? Believe it or not, not at all. I'm sure, you know, a lot of guys feel this way, but you reach a certain point in the off season where you just kind of find yourself itching to go, you know, so obviously it's bittersweet sometimes because you enjoy being home, you enjoy the off season, but kind of once the new year comes around and, you know, the Super Bowl and everything starts popping up, that's when you know it's go time. So it was definitely nice to get back to work and get going again, see all the guys, get out on the field, get moving around, so definitely exciting.
And how was your off season? Did you do anything fun?
No, it was great. You know, took a couple vacations, laid low a little bit, did some golfing. So that's pretty much all I can ask for. Nothing too crazy, just nice and relaxing. Chilled a little bit, and that's pretty much it. Nothing too much.
Let's go back to your earlier days. You're a Southern California kid. You went to high school at Rancho Bernardo High School in San Diego. I'm going to read you some of these names. I'm sure you know them, but yep. Some fellow alums include Billy Bean, he of the Oakland A's and Moneyball fame, Cole Hamels, Hank Blaylock, Tom DeLonge, who I guess is the guitarist, right, and vocalist for Blink-182, Alika Williams was a former Tampa Bay Rays prospect, now with the Pittsburgh Pirates, Trevor Williams also. Do you know any of those guys, or all of those guys?
I actually know quite a bit. I believe it or not, so when I was coming through high school, Cole Hamels would actually come out and throw a lot of his bullpens out, and I was the catcher at the time, so you know I was able to catch him while he was getting ready for spring training. And I remember looking back at those times playing catch, just getting ready for the bullpen, and he wouldn't miss a spot. I would stick my glove out and he would hit it every time, and you were just enamored and like, how does this guy do this? Yeah. And then you would go into the bullpen and every single pitch was exactly where it needed to be. And you know, as a high school kid at the time, you're just like, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. You're in awe. You know, so obviously doing that, and then I was lucky enough to be able to be a teammate of his in Atlanta. So that was kind of a full circle, you know, when I was able to kind of see him in the clubhouse, and we talked a little bit and kind of reminisced on the past and, you know, the kind of small world this baseball world is, you know, going from catching him in high school to catching him in, you know, the big leagues was definitely something.
But he remembered you from high school, yeah?
Yeah, no, you know, a little bit. Obviously, there was a lot of time through that, but, you know, he definitely remembered coming out and throwing and talking, and, you know, he's an amazing guy, and obviously a competitor, as, you know, competitive as it can be on the field. So, you know Cole, Trevor Williams, know him really well. Catch a lot of his sides, pins in the off season, and then Alika. So Alika was playing infield. He was there, I believe. I was a junior, so I believe junior year he was there, and then senior year is when we got to play together. You know, so like I said, there's a couple guys there that I do know, and then obviously cross paths with some of them coming in and out. But yeah, small world, that's for sure.
I imagine though, for a high school catcher, being the backstop for Cole Hamels had to have helped you, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it helped, but it wasn't very hard, believe it or not. There wasn't much to it. It was kind of sit and put the glove where you wanted it, and that's what you're gonna get. No, but it was. My younger self was definitely kind of in awe of, you know, the moment and kind of experiencing a major league player at the time, kind of working on his craft and just how unbelievably, you know, professional and talented he was.
And you almost went to the University of Oregon, but I guess if you're catching Cole Hamels, there's a reason you went sixth overall to the Seattle Mariners back in 2014. Difficult decision at all not to go up and play for the Ducks in Eugene, or if you get selected that high, is it a no-brainer?
I mean, you know what? Obviously, people have different views on that. For my sake, my parents were very big on wanting me to go to school and get an education, which, I mean, I don't blame them at all. I mean, that's definitely very important in life, and, you know, you learn a lot of things going through college, you know, a lot of life experiences and whatnot. You know, but I was fortunate enough and blessed with the opportunity that I had. And, you know, it was kind of hard to make that decision. But ultimately, you know, I decided to, you know, take that opportunity and run with it. And now we're here.
How exciting was that day? Did you anticipate going that high?
You know what? I mean, there was obviously kind of talk about it, talking with my, you know, they call advisor at the time, as they call them. I know times have changed now, which, man, makes me feel, I'm not going to say it because I'm still young, but it definitely, times have changed. Yeah. Times have changed. You know, so speaking with them and all that, it was definitely a surreal moment. You know, there was talks of what was kind of going on and all that, so obviously prepared. And then when my name was called, you know, it definitely was an experience of a lifetime with the family. And then, you know, we were at my house for that, and then we ended up going to my aunt's house and kind of having a party there with the family, having a good time. And, you know, so that was an unbelievably grateful experience.
And you bounced around a little bit. So you were with Seattle for a couple of years, then in 2016, you get traded to the Atlanta Braves, and you make your major league debut with them. You've played for the Marlins also and the Brewers. Let's go to your time in Atlanta, though. Just how exciting was it to make it to the show for the first time?
Yeah, it was awesome. My time with Atlanta was cherished extremely. I learned a lot I learned from a lot of great people, players, staff, how to be a professional, how to go about your business, you know, what kind of work needs to be done to, you know, be a Major League Baseball player, and not just, you know, in and out, but how you get yourself to a point where you want to be producing consistently. You know, and so I really cherish the time that I had with them, and, you know, I've built a lot of good, you know, relationships with guys, a lot of good, you know, friendships have come out of it, players, staff members, I mean, you name it. You know, so it's definitely a place that I really enjoyed. And, you know, obviously when that time came to an end, it was bittersweet, but, you know, you got to keep going. And, you know, I wouldn't be here with this opportunity if it didn't happen. And, you know, I'm very ecstatic for, you know, where I am now. And like I said earlier, this is a great place to be too. And, you know, you feel that energy, that want to win, that want to have fun. And that's all you can ask for.
I see that you were traded, though, from Atlanta to Miami in July of 2021. The Braves, of course, won the World Series that year. Do you have a ring? Did they give you one?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do have a ring.
And where is that now?
So it's with my parents. They got it. They got it tucked away, safe. But yes, I was fortunate enough to have received a ring, you know, and have been a part of that kind of run into getting into the end of the season and, you know, all that. And I did end up, I went to a couple of the games, you know, to finish off the year, to go support, you know, my teammates. And that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, they put together a special run. And, you know, it was enjoyable, you know. Obviously, you know, at the time, kind of going through it, you know, there's other things. You're like, you know, I wish I was kind of on field playing, but at the same time, just watching the guys do their thing and get that done, it was special.
Final question for you: what have you learned from playing for those three organizations prior, or four, I guess, if you want to include the Seattle Mariners, but playing in the big leagues with the Braves, the Marlins, and the Brewers? What have you taken away from those experiences?
I mean, you take away different things from every team, you know, whether it's other players, other staff members, and you start learning how to, you know, take bits and pieces and learning to build kind of your knowledge within the game and gaining more experience. But with every team, I learned something new. I learned how to go about my business in different ways, what I need to prepare, what I need to do. So you're constantly creating this kind of book of information and knowledge that you're storing. You know, so it's something that it's a never ending game of how much information can you get to better yourself as a player, as a person, and get you to ultimately where you want to be. And so that, like I said, it's something that I've already started here, to kind of, you know, talking with other guys and, you know, whatnot, and building relationships with guys and, you know, getting comfortable and really allowing yourself to put yourself in that your best position that you can to be successful and help a team hopefully win a World Series.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to watch you out on the field, Alex Jackson. We thank you so much for joining us on Countdown to Opening Day, and best of luck in 2024.
Awesome. Very much appreciated.
We'll be back to wrap it up here on Countdown to Opening Day right after this on the Rays Radio Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, special thanks to Derek DeBose back in our network studios, as well as Frank Lover and Jared Greenspan for on-site assistance, plus additional help from Andy Freed, Neil Solons, and Chris Miller. I'm Chris Adams-Walt. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the game, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
As this ball is blasted to straightaway center, this ball is long gone. If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
Speaking of the Jungle Cruise, that one is into the jungle, well into it for Randy Arozarena's 19th home run of the season.
Opening day will be here before you know it.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, the Rays win.
For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.